is, right? What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Podcasting at the speed of the internet. This is the GeekCast.
The GeekCast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/thegeekcast. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Hello to everyone out there in the podcast nation. Welcome to the GeekCast. I'm Aaron Krakow.
I'm Gozer.
This is the GeekCast, episode 257. That is for Wednesday, February 23rd, 2011. I'd like to welcome everybody listening and all across the world. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing there, Mr. Gozer?
Good, good. We've got a lot of tablets to talk about, it looks like.
I know.
Good load. Force-feeding us tablets.
I know. This is almost like, okay, we had all the tablets on CES, and now they're just coming out of the woodwork. It's crazy.
Goodness.
Of course, the much-hyped tablet that everybody wants, everybody talks about, everybody loves, and just is heralded the world over.
Mac Motorola, and Allen.
Right. The Motorola Zoom, of course, is what we're talking about.
Yep.
Psych. Is set for pre-orders at Best Buy. And the Zoom has been interesting because there's been a lot of speculation as to the price of the Zoom. And the Zoom is going to be priced at $799 with 3G service, which is upgradable to 4G service, which is interesting. It's going to have, a 10.1-inch screen. And they're expecting that it's going to give the iPad a run for its money. It does have dual-core NVIDIA processors, a 1280 by 800 resolution display, dual cameras, and which is available on Thursday. The tablet has 32 gigs of RAM and has a 32 gigabyte flash drive and a gigabyte of system memory, which is pretty cool. I like the specs on this thing.
Yeah. People are all these different tablets, the Zoom. I know, like I said before, Mac and Allen are very excited about this. I don't know. It's almost like there's like a flood of these things, and everyone's just going to buy one because they're just putting so many of them out there.
Yeah, well, this is like what the netbook almost should have, would have, could have been, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
It's like
laptops and then netbooks and tablets and what's next.
Exactly.
It's like, just stop.
It's whatever Apple invents next. I mean, it's funny because tablets were never really anything, and then the iPad came out last year. It's like, pow, we got tablets out the wazoo, but nothing has really competed. I mean, you know, the Galaxy Tab was supposed to be the first real competitor to the iPad, and it's kind of fallen flat on its face.
Yeah.
The Zoom has a lot of hype behind it, a lot of marketing behind it, a lot of word of mouth, especially with Honeycomb, which is Android. Is that 10? Is that Android 2.3? Honeycomb?
2.3 or 2.4. I'm not exactly sure. But I know it's optimized for tablets.
Yeah.
Which it'll be interesting to see how this thing runs. Now, this is comparable price-wise to the iPad, right? $800 for the 3G iPad?
Yeah. The 3G iPad for 32 gigs is $729. Now, of course, it doesn't have any camera in it. It doesn't have dual processors, but it uses the A4 Apple custom processor, which is custom built for the iPad. Of course, there's no 4G service. But again, the iPad, you know, the Zoom is coming out now, so it's built now. The iPad, you know, it's a little long in the tooth. We're almost a year old with the iPad. So obviously, the technology that's built into the iPad, it isn't really going to compete with tablets that are coming out now. We'll have to see what happens. But Thursday, if you have a spare, $7.99 to drop and you just happen to live near a Best Buy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just go for it. Or you can hold off and wait for the Sony S1 PlayStation tablet. Oh, boy.
I don't know. The design on this thing is really weird.
From the comes out of nowhere department.
Yeah. I don't. This thing is kind of still like, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen. But this is dubbed the kind of gaming media tablet, which, I don't know, like a gaming tablet? Like, I need a controller. I know there's games and stuff on the iPad, but with an analog stick or whatever and buttons and stuff on the on the actual screen, I don't know how well that thing works. But this thing is such a weird design. They say it's similar to like a if you were to like roll up a magazine or like kind of fold it backwards so you're reading one page of the magazine. And I like, why? I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't get it. You guys will have to check out the link in the show notes at the website to see what this is. And of course, it's these are all just kind of like sketches. They're not even pictures.
Yeah, I don't think these Sony things are like, you know, certain that it's going to happen. But I don't know. I mean, yeah. I guess I wouldn't be surprised because they're doing the NGP. They're doing the Xperia PlayStation phone.
Right.
I mean, they really haven't gotten into the tablet market. They do the, you know, the e-readers and everything like that. But they're also talking about this S2 dual screen Android tablet. Which
this still looks weird. I mean, for you guys listening, this looks like almost think of like a cylinder that's been squished down so it's oval shaped, and it kind of just like folds open in the middle.
So if you put this on a table, it's gonna like roll back and forth. I don't get it.
But it's supposed to be a dual screen tablet. They're saying it would have two panels, each measuring 5.5 inches, and you know, there's some specs listed in this, but this is all
customized Android UI and not using Honeycomb.
Yeah, but this is so beyond like even like production that any of these specs, you could just list anything and be like, oh, it has this and it has
this,
that. Like,
yeah, this was more speculative than the S1. This is going to be more like a reader, they said, rather than like a media player or a gaming tablet or something. Which
I guess, but I mean, just based on these photos, or not even photos, again, they're sketches. I mean, it's strange. Like, really? I don't know. It's hard to comment on even anything this alpha. I mean, these sketches look like something somebody drew when they were bored in math class. I mean, really.
Exactly. It's really nothing.
Yeah. But that's okay, because none of this is going to matter on March 2nd, because All Things Digital is reporting that Apple is going to send out their lovely invitations very soon, that there is going to be an event on March 2nd in San Francisco. Now, of course, the invites haven't been sent out yet. It's funny. There's rumors on the invites. It's rumor on everything.
Oh,
like,
God.
Not even just on the products, but everything right now is pointing towards March 2nd as an event at in San Francisco, usually it's the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, I think, is where they hold a lot of their events.
Moscone Center?
They do the Moscone Center, too, for some of the big events. The Moscone Center, I don't think, is in San Francisco. I think it's closer to Cupertino. I don't know. I mean,
whatever.
Apple stuff, who cares? As long as Steve Jobs comes on stage and, you know, pulls an amazing unicorn out of his behind, it's awesome. this is what we've been saying what I've been saying, at least, for the past couple of weeks. This is all the rumblings you guys have read online. I mean, the iPad 2, this would be right on schedule. iPad 2. You know, we would see it. We'd be good to go here. And, as I always say, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's funny because my boss just bought an iPad, and I felt like just yelling at her. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? So, you know, the iPad 2 is coming. Oh, wait, you're my boss. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, anybody who buys an Apple product, like, right before the cutoff, like, oh, man, I feel bad.
And they're not going to tell you at the Apple store.
No, well, they
can't. When's the iPad 2 coming out? And they're probably told not to say that because they want you to buy it. You know,
of course. Well, not only that, but I mean, Apple does not comment on rumors. That's just how they are. And, you know, while we all know an iPad 2 will be out at some point in whenever, I mean, let's face it, Apple has a pretty good track record of 1 year refreshes on their products. And there's really no reason not to know this anymore, because if you just go online and do a quick Google search, all this information is just kind of out there.
Yeah, and people know. I mean, you should know this from the iPods and everything. It's like, there's a new iPod coming out all the time. It's just, I don't know, that's just what they do. And I guess, you know, it keeps it fresh, maybe. People are interested in Apple. There's always 50 to 100 people in the friggin' Apple store.
I know. The Apple store is just like, oh, my God. There's like, always people
in it. What's new? Ooh.
It's never empty. The Apple store is never empty.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope. Unless you go maybe when it first opens. I don't know. Maybe not even then.
Yeah. Especially if you go like the ones in Manhattan. Those are just like all – like the Cube store is just always busy. I've heard like even like 3 in the morning it's packed.
Oh, yeah. It's just – you just have to visit it if you're visiting New York almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Because so cool.
One place that was empty in the video for this news article is an arcade. And again, from the – out of left field department, this is very strange. Now, if you guys have seen the movie King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
Which is awesome. Because if you're a geek, you have to see this movie.
Yeah, this is a great, great movie. It's video game based, but you don't even have to be into video games to like this. But Billy Mitchell, who is a very famous video game player, I think he's the world record holder at Pac-Man, amongst others, and he's very weird.
He makes hot sauce.
Yeah, it's – God, the guy is so weird. But he apparently has opened a King of Kong arcade at, of all places, Orlando Airport.
Yeah, what? I read this. I'm like, airport? What? In Orlando? I don't even think the guy's from there.
Yeah, I have no idea. And interestingly, there's not a Donkey Kong machine in this arcade. Which, I mean, that's kind of the big thing of King of Kong. It's all about Donkey Kong.
Yeah, yeah. But then I'm out of spite. But yeah, that's strange. Well, next time I go to Disney World, I'll have to check it out, which I don't know when that will be.
I mean, it's just very weird. I mean, you guys, if you click on the link in the show notes, it's to Joystick. You'll see a YouTube video of a guy showing it. It's not a big arcade. It's, you know, like, what did you say, Gozer? Maybe like 15 games in there, maybe?
I didn't actually see this. Hold on. I need to check this out. But you know what? Who cares? If it's small, it's still an arcade, which there aren't many of. Ooh, this is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool.
It kind of looks like
outside.
A theater you're walking into.
Yeah, it does, but it doesn't look like there's many games in there to begin with. But true, new arcades are new arcades, which, I mean, man, just arcades are just gone. There's no such thing as those anymore.
Well, they got the nice Donkey Kong, the peel things on the walls,
like the decals.
Wallpaper.
Yeah, but
decals. Yeah,
Donkey Kong machine. Where
strange,
is it?
Strange. Well, that guy's weird. So
yeah. Well, that's okay. Another thing that's going the way of the dodo is rental movies, because you'd never want to get a real DVD in the mail or Redbox ever again, because
it takes too long.
We have sung the praises of Netflix a million times, and it looks like Netflix finally has a competitor, and this is awesome. Pretty much, we've heard about it before, and here it is. Amazon has switched on its free video streaming service for Amazon Prime members, and this is something I've been hearing about for a while.
Yeah. So Amazon Prime. I don't even know what this is. I know it's like the better membership you can have to Amazon.com.
Yeah, pretty much Amazon Prime. I think it's $80 a year, and it allows you to get 2-day shipping on anything Amazon sells. If you buy enough stuff from Amazon, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. They have a program called Amazon Mom, which allows you to get Prime for free. And then anytime you buy something baby related, it extends how long you get the service for free. So you start with like 3 months of free Prime. And then if you buy something, you get another month and then another month. And let me tell you something. Having 2 cases of diapers shipped to your door for free is nice. It works great.
That's a good idea.
So pretty much, if you are a subscriber to the Prime service, you now get access to instant streaming just like Netflix streaming, which is very, very cool. They have 5,000 pieces of Prime eligible content, including some recent movies and a lot of TV shows. If you subscribe to Netflix, this is going to look very familiar.
Now, is it going to be similar to Netflix in that these movies and or TV shows, they're kind of like a couple years old?
I don't know. I haven't really gone to look through most of the content, but the interesting thing will be, do they have different rights than Netflix as far as the streaming goes? Like, will they get, you know, movie X before Netflix does, and or vice versa? Will Netflix, you know, it's like, I wonder how the deals are really going to affect this. Now, if you do have Amazon Prime, like I do through the Amazon Mom program, or if you have the student version of Amazon Prime where you get it for free, you do not qualify for Prime Instant Video. You actually have to have a paid Prime membership. So you still got to pony up. But again, this is actually pretty cool, because if you think about it, it's $79 for the year. So if you figure how much Netflix streaming would cost you, Netflix streaming, I think, is $9 or eight or $9.
I think it's less than that, actually. This just to get streaming is maybe $6 or $7.
No, it's not six. I think let's say it's between $7 and $9. So you figure that times 12, still not enough to pay you have Prime pay for itself. But now let's say you buy 4 or 5 things off of Amazon throughout the year.
Yeah.
With free 2-day shipping, that is something that could really pay for itself, which would be very cool. Yeah, absolutely. And the cool thing with Prime is that you can split it with people. You can have quote unquote family members who can piggyback on it. So, and you could have up to 5 people. So if you will split the Prime bill, you know, it could be very, very advantageous to go for this.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. I'm really interested in checking it out. Now, I did not have a good experience ordering a movie off of Amazon. Just, you know, because you can't stream it. It just has to download. So I think, maybe people have been complaining or something. So I'm wondering if, you know, that's all going to be built into the Amazon video store that's on my TiVo Premiere. That would
It's
nice
not available on TiVo yet. It's not compatible. I'm sure they'll have to release some sort of update.
Yeah,
that'll go. TiVo's a little behind with those types of things.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you have, I know on Android it works, and if you have on Mac and PC, like in your browser, and also other computer connected devices like Google TV and you know things like that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Finally, I talked about taking all the fun out of a classic here. There is a new version of Monopoly, which will be coming out later this year, called Monopoly Live. And if you like playing Monopoly but don't like playing Monopoly, this may be the version for you. This
is absolutely okay, ridiculous. Sounds interesting.
Yeah. pretty much it's a Monopoly board with this huge tower in the middle that floods the board with infrared light that you can't see. And it rolls the dice for you, tells you where your piece is supposed to go, and you don't have any money. You have this credit card that you like put in the slot, so it keeps track of all the money and the money changing hands, and just like plays the game for you. Like
what?
It's really weird. There's no chance or community chess cards either, which is like that's kind of integral to the game.
But don't you want to like when you have a game in front of you, you want to play it? Not watch it.
I know, and it's like it just like barks orders at you, like move four spaces to roll the dice. You like cover the pieces are. It's a classic Monopoly piece, but on like this like cone pedestal, so you cover the piece with your hand, and it knows like okay, that's how you roll. So it makes like a dice rolling sound, and then rolls the dice. And it's like seven. Move to Marvin's Gardens, like or Marvin Gardens. Like what? Like, come on, like
weird.
It's very, very weird. And then, like, random events happen, like a horse race, which I don't understand, or a property auction. What? Like, I don't understand this. This makes
I'm wondering
no sense.
Why I didn't go to the 2011 Toy Fair in New York.
Yeah, I know. That's probably the most interesting thing in this whole article is that there's actually a toy fair here in New York. But if you check out the link at the show notes, it's from cnetsnews.com. There is a video demoing this HAL-like computer that's running Monopoly Live. And I don't get it. I mean, I'm a Monopoly fiend. I love Monopoly. It's my favorite board game ever.
Do you like it on the iPhone now? You said it was kind of like cheating.
If you play one-on-one against the computer, it's great. If you play you against the against like three computers, they cheat because they make the most sucker deals to each other. Like, you know, let's say one computer player has Boardwalk, the other one is Park Place, and the guy who owns Park Place has, like, you know, a monopoly in the greens and the monopoly in the oranges. He'll trade all six of those properties just for Boardwalk.
Yeah.
It'll sell its soul for Boardwalk. Like, it's just insane. You guys who play on the iPhone know this. And it constantly lands on free parking. And even if you have an entire side of the board that you own, it'll, like, roll past it, like, probably like 7 out of 10 times. It's ridiculous, but it's still fun. I still like it.
Just do one on one.
On a Monopoly kick, I was actually looking on Xbox for Monopoly, and I was actually very disappointed that Monopoly is not an arcade title for the Xbox.
Well, too bad you don't have a PS3.
Yeah, well, you know what? I may actually go out and purchase Monopoly for Xbox. I know that there is a newer version called Monopoly Streets, which has Xbox Live support built in. So, but it's like $35. It's like, all right, I've bought Monopoly. I have the board game. I've bought it probably like three times in my life. I bought it for the iPhone last year. It's like, I'm going to buy it on Xbox now. Ugh.
Yeah, you know what? I just bought Plants vs. Zombies on the PlayStation Network. This will be my third time playing that game.
But this is where like things get really interesting. Like I was searching the Xbox Live Arcade for a half hour trying to find it. I'm like, come on, it's gotta be here, it's gotta be here. And as soon as I saw it's a physical game, I'm like, ugh, I don't know if I want this now.
Oh, you and your physical stuff.
I know.
Just get it. It is for Streets for the PS3. I could have sworn I saw like a downloadable one too for the PS3. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting because I just downloaded Plants vs. Zombies again because I loved it. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with downloading another game that you have on another device and want to play again. I also downloaded Pixel Junk Monsters, which I played the crap out of on my PSP. And it looks beautiful on, you know, the big screen through my PS3. So I got that again, too.
Very
I'm really contemplating because I have not been playing it, Back to the Future, on the PlayStation 3.
Yes. Actually, the second episode of that is out, and I have to download and
it's
play
out.
It.
Yeah. I got it on the Mac just because it wasn't coming out on anything else, and I'm just not playing. I don't play games on my computer. No, I don't know. has to be like, I don't know.
Well, moving along here on the show, let's keep the show rolling here. We are getting to Geek This Week, and you know what? I had to think long and hard about what I was geeking out to this week because there wasn't much.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of low-key weeks in the geeky world as far as finding something I'm really latched onto, but Scrivener, which we've talked about on the show, they've sponsored us. Version 2 of the software has been out, as you guys know, and I finally went ahead and picked up my copy. I was ready to do it, and it's a great upgrade. As far as it took, like, writing software on steroids and just, you know, makes it even better, more organized. I'm really not going to go into details. I'm going to kind of give you the floor for this segment, Gozer, but it's really cool. But the best feature is that you can have it export a backup copy of your work every time you save, every time you open a document, or every time you exit the program. Hmm. The great thing is that you can select your location. Where better else to backup automatically than to Dropbox? And cool. That's what I'm doing. And that was a suggestion that they actually had on their website. So every time I quit the app, it says backing up, and it plops it right into a folder that I created on Dropbox. You know, it's a writing folder, so I pointed it to that. And then Dropbox synchronizes, and boom, I have that. And, of course, Dropbox backs up its own file. So if you deleted a file off of Dropbox, you could go onto the website and restore it. So you have all of this backup. It's like backups upon backups upon backups, which is just awesome. Very cool stuff. So if you guys are writing and you're using Scrivener, if you have Scrivener version 1, the upgrade is only $25, which is a complete steal. If you haven't used it yet, it is $45. It's great, though. This backup feature alone is awesome. So my writing gets backed up as a separate file that I do periodically. It gets backed up to Time Machine on my Mac, daily to my Mobile Me account, and then it gets backed up to Dropbox.
What are you up to in Dropbox, memory-wise?
I don't know, because I was doing some sort of scavenger hunt that gave you more and more space. Actually, you know what? Let's see here. I have the client running right here. Hold on. I have 3.7 gigabytes.
Ah, in Dropbox. I'm at 2.5. I need to get more, because I've actually been using it a lot. You know, I do a lot of video stuff, and it's very convenient to, like, hey, can I see that video? Boom, throw it in Dropbox, because I don't know any better way, for free at least.
And it's great, because then you just put it in the public folder, get the public link, and pow, there you go.
Yep. But I need to remind people to install it so I can get more memory. So I have 2.5 gigs, so I got two people to actually do it, even though I sent a lot more people some video stuff. But Dropbox is definitely cool. A lot of games. There's always
games. Gee, you're geeking out to games? What a surprise.
My God. You know what? I decided I'm going to stop playing Black Ops. I got to stop, because zombies is getting out of control. I kind of slowed down on multiplayer Prestige twice, and it just kind of, I don't know, get a little dry. But Zombies,
that was a great movie, The Prestige.
Yeah. You know, I actually never finished that movie.
Oh, man.
I need to.
You're missing out.
Zombies is just consuming my life, basically, because you have to dedicate 2 to 3 hours at least if you want to get a good full game, and you can't pause the thing. Because you're playing online with 3 other people, and it's like a match can be that long, can be longer, actually.
It's like playing Horde mode on Gears of War 2 on Xbox Live.
Yeah, but couldn't you pause Horde mode?
At first you couldn't. For a while you couldn't. Then they finally updated it where you could pause. Only the host could pause it.
Oh, the host. Yeah, that's right. but yeah, Zombies, you can't do anything. The only way you can kind of stay alive is to make a crawler, which is blow a zombie's legs off, so he just crawls around real slow, and everyone can get their upgrades and everything. But yet, the game is still not paused. So if, you know, someone happens to call you from upstairs, they need help with something, take the garbage out, you can't really do it. And you get a little bit of trouble.
Honey, come rub my feet.
No, I can't. I'm killing zombies. You don't understand. I got to stop playing that for that reason too, but also for the reason that I have Marvel vs. Capcom 3 sitting around. I played it maybe twice, and Picked up Bulletstorm also today, which is really cool because the makers of Gears of War made a first-person shooter, which is kind of really crazy, over the top. This game is it's a first-person shooter. Left trigger aims, right trigger shoots, which I really like because I can't really play anything else that doesn't do that. I tried the demo for Killzone 3 on the PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do that. I just like the aiming down the scope and shooting. I can't deal with, you know, games that don't do that. So I was happy about that. You also get this leash thing where you can throw this electrical leash around opponents and pull them towards you, kind of maybe like a scorpion type thing.
Okay.
But they kind of slow down in midair and you get to kick them in the face, kick them in the nuts, shoot them. Kick him into, a razor wire fence, kick him into spikes on a wall. It's kind of like all this crazy stuff integrated into a first-person shooter. It's very over the top, but, I'm not too excited about it now, but I also remind myself when I first played Gears of War 1, the first hour, I was kind of like, I don't know if I like this or not, and it turned out to be one of my most favorite games of all time.
Right.
So I'll give it a little bit of time.
deal with it.
Yeah. Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I'm so thankful I got two arcade sticks because, arcade sticks are so much better to play with when you're playing, Soul Calibur, Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom type games. I actually played with one-third of Matt a couple days ago, and he kicked my ass.
Those are some of my coworkers. For
yes,
you guys,
yes. There's three Matts, and one-third of Matt is always on. And, he kicked my butt, and it's like so fast. Any new person trying to play this game will get so discouraged so quickly if you're playing online.
I was the same way with Call of Duty,
Modern Warfare 2.
Just like we're playing the multiplayer. I was like, oh my god, this is way too quick.
Yeah, how does anybody
play this?
Yeah, it doesn't get fun. Arcade mode though was pretty cool. It was a little bit challenging. I beat the end boss Galactus. Who is, I think he's like a planet eater or something in the Marvel Comics series. And I beat him actually pretty easily. That was cool. I didn't get discouraged. I think I played on just normal mode too. I used Dante, Thor, and Wolverine, I think, which is pretty cool. And nice, Wolverine still does his barrage from the X-Men game.
Pepper and Hero Barrage.
Yes. We used to play on Sega Saturn back in the day, back in 98.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying that. Something that also blew my mind, and I tweeted about this a couple of days ago, a coworker of mine told me about this. You got to watch the Dead Island trailer. Just search it out on YouTube. It's crazy. It's for this new game. Apparently, it's been in development for about 4 years, and I have never heard of it until this trailer. This trailer is basically, I won't give too much away, but it kind of backtracks and then goes forward at the same time. In the same kind of like room, and then the two videos kind of meet in the middle, and then that's where the video stops. And it's all zombies, it's all everything, it's crazy, it's brilliantly done. The character animations are amazing, they look very realistic. If this game is as good as the trailer, it's going to be unbelievable. But
nice.
Something tells
nice.
Me it's not going to be.
We always like that.
Yeah, so cool. I put the link in the show notes, so you have to check this out, because if you have kids, which maybe, Aaron, you don't want to watch it. If you have kids, you're going to be like, wow, that was messed up.
So, okay.
Yeah. finally, rounding up my geek this week, I had a really bad experience at the Apple Store. And it didn't have anything to do with me. It's my mother-in-law. She bought an iPad. And whatever older guy that was working there was just really rude to her and then really rude to me. You go to the Apple Store, you're going to be asking a lot of questions. And he kind of came off like a Nick Burns type character.
You should be like, yo, I co-host the Geek Cast. Leave me alone.
Nah, he would have probably been like, what? Never heard of it.
he's dumb. Everybody's heard of the Geek Cast.
But basically, we meet... we meet my in-laws sometimes at the Palisades Mall, which is kind of halfway between our house and theirs. And we always go to the Apple Store. My mother-in-law got an iPad. My father-in-law likes computers and stuff like that. So I went with both of my in-laws there. And my mother-in-law was just asking questions and, just wanted to know a couple things. She had like a USB connector and an SD card reader that you plug into the iPad. And she just wanted to – I actually didn't know she had it until we walked into the store. She's like, I got this. And I was like, wow, you could have told me this a while ago. I could have set this up. I don't know. She was just asking basic questions, and the guy was just being really rude to her. And she comes over to me, and she's like, wow, this is not like the Apple Store by you. Like, they're extremely rude. And so then the guy comes back, actually, and I start asking him why this the USB connector doesn't work with a thumb drive, because I wanted to get pictures off my father-in-law's thumb drive, put them on the iPad. And just really rude, just like well, it only works with USB wires connected directly to your camera. I'm like, really? It doesn't – like they're not going to update anything to have it work with thumb drives too? It only works with USB wires connected directly to a camera. Like, again, like really? Like you're going to be like that?
Not cool, dude. Not
like, cool. Seriously. It really just made the whole thing sour. There's like five guys at the store just standing around doing nothing. And then the guy walks away from us and he's just – diddling around with the computers and not even talking to anyone or helping anyone. Yeah, it was.
You should have been like, "I'm calling Steve."
Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be something on the Apple website I can like write into, right?
Oh, I'm
bad
sure.
Experiences. I don't know, but I've decided what my next Apple computer is going to be. Go. What? I know.
I don't know what this is going to be.
You're going to lose it. I'm going to go with the MacBook Pro.
Nice.
Just because, nice. You know, life, I think, requires something portable.
Yes.
Rather than
you could always use a monitor.
Yes.
Hook it up. You could always get a $200 monitor to drive the display, you know, once that happens.
Yep. And also, it's just, I think I would use it a lot more if it was portable because I think equally I'm on my netbook and my Mac. Just because my netbook I can take on the couch, I usually have it in the kitchen. We have a little breakfast bar, so I kind of sit there and do stuff on it. And but the Mac kind of takes me away from everything else because it's there. I can't move it. Believe me, I would love a 27-inch iMac. It would be amazing and upgrade that thing and make it powerful as hell. But I don't know. I gotta go with portable.
Right, portable always wins out in the end.
Yeah. So. Are they going to announce possible new MacBook Pros soon?
Yes, that is the rumor. That new stuff, new hotness will be coming very shortly. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Next year.
There you go. Let's take a moment to thank one of our sponsors, and that is Audible. That's right, everybody. Audible, you've heard me talk about it before on the GeekCast, and it is an awesome service. Now, you know, reading is really important. It's really great and relaxing, but sometimes the rigors of life just don't allow us to get in front of a book or a Kindle or a Nook or anything like that as much as we can. But you know what? We probably do drive to work 5 days a week. So, you know what? Listen to a book. Check out Audible, and this is really, really awesome. Audible has more than 85,000 audiobooks to choose from that you can listen to while you're on your way to work. They work on your iPod, your iPhone, Zune, your MP3 player. It's awesome, awesome stuff. And the best thing of all is that Audible has hooked all of you guys up with a free audiobook. That's right, you get a free audiobook and a 14-day trial to check it out. All you have to do is head on over to audiblepodcast.com/thegeekcast. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/thegeekcast to claim your free audiobook. Check it out, it's awesome, and please support us by supporting our sponsors. Okay, moving along to the Geek's Choice, and this is pretty cool. A lot of actual information. This is almost long for a Geek's Choice. This is Vudu Movie Service.
Yes.
Very cool.
This is on the PS3. It's also on PC, Mac.
They have their own standalone box, too.
What's that?
They have their own standalone box also, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they do? Oh, I didn't
yes.
know that.
So this is pretty cool because this is a way to stream movies right to your device.
It's yeah, like and it's interesting because I'm pretty sure you don't download these movies. They're just streaming.
I think they're just streaming. Yeah. I agree on that. It's cool. It has the Rotten Tomatoes tomato meter.
Yes, that's movie. Really cool. I installed it on the PS3 and I saw that and I was like, oh, because I always look at Rotten Tomatoes and I was like, that's a really nice touch.
Yeah.
Really nice. They also have a Vudu, I guess, user rating for the movies, too, like right under that. So you kind of get an idea of, you know, how good a movie is just by seeing those ratings right away.
Right.
There's two browsing options. There's kind of like a new menu that has top picks, top rentals, new trailers, and coming soon to rental. And the trailers, man, I was watching trailers. I know you can do it, you know, on the Apple website, but to watch a full high-definition trailer on your flat-screen TV is awesome.
Oh, yeah,
and I was watching stuff I probably would never even look at before. but it's really cool, and it works really fast. I was really surprised, like, how snappy this thing is. Really fast movie trailers. The whole menu moves really fast as well. Then there's the regular browsing menu, and you can sort movies by the tomato meter ratings, most watched, release date, and A through Z, genre or year. And there's just so many ways to search this thing. It's really well done. I'm very impressed with it. There's also collections, showcases categorized by like love stories, slashers, probably chick flicks, Academy Awards, best actor, best actress, best picture, best director. Really specific things, which
is
really
great
cool.
Because if you're looking for, you know, top movies of, you know, the past, you know, 30 years that were all like, you know, best, you know, Oscar award winning best director, you could just do that.
Yeah. There's also My Vudu section, which shows movies that you've purchased, which I don't think if I'm going to buy a movie, I think I would just buy the physical copy. I don't know. You might like something like this.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, well, if you could access it from anywhere, I would like that.
Yeah. There's also the My Rentals, which is pretty cool. My Wish List, which is really cool because I don't know a video service that does a wish list. So
like it'll wait until something's available and then tell you.
Either that or just like, oh, I want to watch that and just click add to wish list. And then you can, you know, you'll have this list and you could just choose to rent it.
So it's like a Netflix queue.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of.
Very cool. Wow. So I'm looking at the
price. These movies, these come out the same day it does on DVD and Blu-ray, which is
nice.
Awesome.
Which is the advantage over Amazon, Netflix, and all that.
Yes.
Redbox, all that.
Another ooh moment was in the info and settings portion of the My Vudu. You can test your network connection, you know, and I know my network connection, but I just think it's another cool touch that Vudu does to see whether you'll be able to stream these movies, you know, effectively or not. Then at the end, there's this basic search menu, which is, you know, just typing stuff in, which I probably will never use. Another ooh moment I had using the service was they have a 99-cent movie of the day, which is
awesome.
Which is really cool. And it's full HD, you know.
1080p.
Yeah, these are older movies probably. When I checked, it was Primary Colors with John Travolta. I actually haven't seen. But it's in full high definition, and it's a dollar. Like, that's
why
awesome.
Why not? Yeah.
Sure. So the movies come in three categories. SD, 480p for $3.99. HD 720p for $4.99, HDX 1080p for $5.99. And that's pretty cool because if I'm going to use Vudu on my TV in the bedroom, I'm not going to pay the extra dollar for 1080p. I'm going to do the 720p.
Right.
My TV
now, is
not
every movie available in all three?
For the most
qualities?
Part.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. The new movies, to buy them, are only standard definition. I'm thinking, you know, later on they'll come out to be able to purchase for, you know, full HD.
Right.
But it's 5.1 Dolby Digital and Dolby Digital Plus and Dolby Stereo. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's wow. And the cool thing is download it on your PS3, Blu-ray players, TV, PC, or Mac, and you get a free full HD movie rental worth $5.99, which is really cool.
Wow.
I downloaded it already. We actually didn't get around to watching it. I downloaded that Unstoppable movie with the train, Denzel. I know it looks cliche or whatever, but it'll be cool to watch in the theater, you know, big action flick. So that's there. And I got it. I have 30 days to watch it, and it was free. So if you have anything like this, just download Vudu and get a free movie. Why not?
Why not?
Sure.
And that actually brings us into our featured segment, which is movie related. And pretty much we're just going to talk about some mind-bending movies that geeks love.
I know why you did this, because you saw Inception.
Yes, and I was going to say that. I am extremely late to the game. I did want to see Inception in the theaters, never got a chance. And then I had my copy of Inception, and I just never got a chance to watch it. And finally, last week, my wife and I, we watched it, and it was great because I was able to pause it. I was able to rewind. The dialogue was a little hard to hear at certain points. But wow, what a mind trip this movie was. It was so
great. Did you like it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was awesome. It was a great movie. Very well done. Christopher Nolan, my hat's off to you. It was awesome. And it just got me thinking, like, wow, that's like a total, like, geeky love movie. And there's so many of them out there. So we're not going to do any spoilers. Maybe some of the really older ones, like Total Recall.
Yeah, of course. I haven't seen that.
You know, we're going to give away some spoilers. But Inception is really cool. It just messes with your mind. What's real? What's not? Leonardo DiCaprio is awesome in it. And if you like this movie, you would actually also like Shutter Island, which is another Leonardo DiCaprio mindbender movie. It's not as techy or geeky or anything like that, but that's another cool movie.
I don't know. I kind of call that movie. I was
Whatever. Settle down, Roger Ebert. But but yeah, Inception was really cool. It was a lot of fun. Ellen Page was in it too. She was in Juno. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great movie. Highly recommended.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. Just the layers and layers of dreams. And, you know, if you got up to go to the bathroom, you probably could miss it. But I thought it was easy to follow.
Once they started explaining things, the first 20 minutes,
they explained a lot on how the layers work and everything. And that was interesting. And I loved the ending. I thought the ending was really cool.
Yeah, at the end when everybody dies.
Yeah, everyone dies and everyone's dead. And it was really trippy just thinking about that, like living in a dream and not living in like your own life.
Yeah, and we're not giving anything away. This is like the first like minute of the movie, so don't worry.
Yeah,
but yeah, it really gets you to think, which is awesome. And you know, a lot of homage to another huge geeky what is real movie, The Matrix, of course.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Talk about total mind bender when you, the first time you saw that.
Maybe Inception inspired a little bit from The Matrix, even though it doesn't really go into dreams as much, but kind of like alternate reality, different types of realities.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, alternate reality, but, you know, fighting the man and the revolution and, you know, trying to, you know, free people and freedom. Like, there's a lot of these great concepts just mixed into The Matrix. And The Matrix was the first one to use just cutting-edge special effects. I mean, God, the first time I saw Bullet Time, I was like, oh, my God, that's, like, the Bullet craziest time. Thing ever.
Having a ton of cameras around the person and just doing those shots, those circular shots was really cool.
Yeah, I remember you were telling me, like, you had read an article that there was only, like, four scenes in the whole movie that did not have some CGI in it of some sort.
Yeah, Reloaded was, like, all CGI. Like, you go back and watch that, it's just like, oh my God, so much.
Yeah, and it was not as good on top of that. So.
I you know what? I like the action scenes better just because it was nonstop. That whole scene on the highway was amazing. Yeah,
that was cool.
It was really cool. It was like 20 minutes. And then Matrix Revolutions, I actually bought on DVD when it came out back in, when was that? Like 2003, 2004?
Yeah, I have all three also.
Yeah, and I never watched Revolutions again.
So bad.
I just was like, what? Really? Because I thought that end fight scene in Revolutions was going to be like amazing. And it really like disappointed.
You guys who have seen it, you know what we're talking about. For you guys who have not seen the third Matrix, don't. Don't. You're good with the first one. The second, all right.
Yeah.
But that's you're good at that point.
Yes. Memento, another cool movie I remember watching in college. Basically, it, going backwards, right? That's what the movie is?
Yeah, and again, we're not giving anything away. You pick this up in the first 5 minutes.
People have seen this.
Yeah, Guy Pearce is the main character, the guy who plays who's in The Matrix. There's a couple of Matrix people, actually. Carrie Ann Moss is in Memento.
That's right.
And the guy who plays Cypher in The Matrix, the guy who turns on him on The Matrix,
yes,
he is also in it as well. Yep. So I don't know if there's like a production or director connection with Memento.
Possibly.
I think actually Memento was done by Christopher Nolan also.
But really interesting movie in that this guy basically, you know, people have seen this. He loses his memory and he tries to short-term memory, actually.
Right.
And he tries to leave reminders on his body with tattoos. What is it? To see who killed someone?
He's trying to solve the mystery of who killed his wife, who murdered his wife.
Who killed his wife. Yeah,
in the altercation, he gets injured so that he can't form any new memories. So something happens, it fades within a couple of minutes, and it's him dealing with this and trying to remember things and people playing on that. And it's just you know what, it's funny because for a geeky movie, it's not really, there's no tech in it, there's no computer, there's no anything, but it's just so twisted in so many ways. And you know, I guess it's also, I guess it's a real geeky movie because it was the first big movie after The Matrix that had Carrie Ann Moss in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, she's in it. Okay, well, we liked her as Trinity.
Yeah. So yeah. That could be cool. You know what's interesting about all these movies? It's kind of like, yeah, they're love them or hate them.
Yes.
Yeah. They're very, I mean, like, I don't know, like, oh, that was a good movie. It's like, no, yeah, they really liked it or you really hated it.
Yeah, well, that's the same with the next movie, Fight Club.
Yeah.
You know, you guys should have all seen this already. If you haven't, just go get it. I mean, it's interesting because that's a movie where you're watching it and you're like, okay, I think I know what happens and what's going on. Oh, no, you don't. Okay, no. Now I think I know what's going on. No, you don't. And, like, it's so funny because every time you think you're catching on to what's happening, they just, like, totally, like, have this crazy twist and turn that just screws it up.
And it just gets to the point where it's, like, psychotic.
Yeah.
And just out of control. And David Fincher, I love David Fincher. He did Seven, The Game. I think he did Aliens 3 also. I actually heard he didn't have a lot of input in that movie. Okay.
Brad Pitt was actually great in this movie. I'm not a big Brad Pitt fan, but Brad Pitt was awesome.
Yeah, he was really cool. And Ed Norton's always great. Another great Ed Norton movie. Not really geeky, but American History X, if you have not seen that.
There's nothing geeky about American History X.
No, you must go out and see that because that's Ed Norton's best role, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe Primal Fear was pretty good. Maybe. But yeah, Fight Club, yeah, crazy movie. I think going into that, we saw that in college too. I was just like, okay, like they have a club and they fight each other, cool.
Yeah,
cool,
it's a boxing movie.
And like, no idea.
No.
So deep and so psychotic.
People peeing in food and stealing fat to make soap and just like all sorts of weird things. It's like every time I think of that movie, all I think of is Ed Norton saying, on a long enough timeline, your chances of survival always end at zero.
Should I give him the ass or the crotch? Going to the airplane. Yeah, just some great scenes in that movie. Total Recall. I put this one in because this is totally like, I don't know, when was this? 88, 89 or something?
Gozer. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I'm not remembering that. The last time we watched that was at like your house when you're living with your mom.
Oh my God. Okay, Total Recall, I gotta say, I've gained an appreciation for it over the years, but God, I remember for so long, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
This movie is terrible, and it still is terrible.
Yeah.
I have an appreciation for it because they were trying to do something really out there, but oh my God, it's just like...
And then like Mars like got an atmosphere, and it's like, okay, wait a minute, how'd that happen? What?
And then he's like pulling this huge like thing, like this tracking device out through his nose, and it, like he's just like he's like, you know, grunting to get it through.
Girl with three boobs. That was great.
Yeah, girl with three boobs, and actually Sharon Stone is in it, which was funny.
Oh, that's right. Oh yeah. Oh, I love that. One of my favorite Arnold moments. He shoots Sharon Stone in the head and goes, consider that the divorce.
He's like, honey, awesome. I love you. I'm your wife.
Yeah, bang.
Yeah. It's so bad. You have to watch. I think that's a movie that pretty much everybody hates. But, you kind of have to see it.
It's good to watch just to like make fun of it almost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Rounding it out is Primer. Now, you added this one to the list, Elite Edition. I actually don't know this movie.
I saw this in 2004, and I couldn't follow it. Now, I want you to watch this, because it's a time travel movie.
You know what? I think this actually might be. I'm pulling up my Netflix instant queue. I think I have it in my instant queue.
It's not in streaming, but it's on... you can get the disc. I know it's on Netflix. But it's like time travel. I just remember being really confused by it, not really knowing what was going on. It's basically a box that you like lay in, and you time travel through that. And then I think there's like two guys that they become obsessed with it, and then they figure out they can like, I don't know, go back in time or forward in time.
Do they make this time machine by accident almost?
I don't even know.
I feel like I've heard of this, and it's probably in my Netflix queue. I just checked my instant queue, and it's not there, so it's got to be in my disc queue.
I saw it in 2004, and maybe I didn't even finish it because I was like, what is going on with this movie? Like, it almost like got boring or something. I just want you to watch it because it's a time travel movie.
This movie was really boring. Here, watch it.
No, because it's a time travel movie. I just want your opinion on it.
Oh, okay.
But
wait, is there a DeLorean in it?
No, it's a box.
Okay, then it sucks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like just a box and it doesn't do anything and it's in like some warehouse or something and
sounds
I don't know.
Invigorating.
Yeah, yeah. But so, it's time travel. Right. Just watch it.
There you go. So, yes, those are our mind-bending, geeky love movies. The full list will be on the show notes at geekcastonline.com. But I love these movies. I think you love these movies, too. Total Recall notwithstanding.
I love Fight Club. That's my favorite out of this whole list.
Yeah, but if you guys have not seen Inception, great movie. And that's kind of a good jumping off point for the rest of the list here.
Yeah, yep.
So, we actually have no items of note for you guys. No love. It's okay. We don't take it personally. No emails, no voicemails, but that's okay. You will have another chance to do that this week. So, we're actually going to wrap up the show here for episode 257, guys. We'd like to thank you for listening and subscribing. Of course, all the show notes, like we've said throughout the show, are found at www.geekcastonline.com. I am on Twitter as TheGeekCast.
Gozer 360 everywhere.
That's right. And if you want to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheGeekCast, 206-355-000 is the voicemail line. And of course, you can email us geekcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time, everyone, for episode 258. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing. See you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.